Welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today will be Ben Weeks. This episode, we will be discussing the 1-0 loss for Fulham and share our thoughts on what happened on the road against Watford. Ben should be joining me shortly. We will be going through this match. A couple things I will tell you is that I would highly recommend you watching the replay released today by the club. It will give you a completely different, well, I shouldn't say completely different view. It will actually give you a very interesting view of this match. Different than if you listen to it, obviously, if you were there, you got the full view of this match. But again, this is a loss that, again, similar to the Watford, similar to the Wolves match, where, you know, again, you know, we did some nice things, but just couldn't break them through. Well, this is a similar situation, except I think this is a pretty decent performance for a 1-0 loss. Fulham did have several opportunities to get the equalizer, and I will tell you that when Matt Smith came on in the last 15 minutes of this match, he changed the match. He changed Fulham, and unfortunately, you know, we couldn't get that goal, but there were certainly opportunities at the very end of that match, and Matt Smith had a great deal to do with that. So we will definitely be going through that. Hopefully Ben will be joining me shortly. One thing I will do while I wait for Ben is I'm going to read the manager reaction to you. Again, this is on the FulhamFC.com website. This will get us going. This will give you a flavor of what happened on the road last night. Okay, this, again, you can read this on FulhamFC.com. Kit Simons feels his side did enough on Tuesday evening to take a point away from Vicarage Road. Watford scored the only goal of the game early on when Troy Deeney last home after Marcus Bettinelli had pulled off a save following a corner and Fulham were unable to force an equalizer despite heavy spells of pressure. Quote, this is from Kit. I thought we deserved to get something out of the game, Simon stated in his post-match press conference. A draw probably would have been a fair result overall. We had the better possession and a couple more shots than them, but it was pretty even, Stephen, really. The goal we conceded was very disappointing from their first attack, really. They get a corner, we concede from the second phase of that. Quote, we hadn't been defending set pieces particularly well of late, so we looked at that, and it's even more frustrating that it was the second phase one. It wasn't the initial ball in, but it was Deeney's good finisher in those situations, and he peeled off round the back, and the ball fell nicely for him, and that was that. But we had chances to get back into it at the end, but couldn't take them, unfortunately. Watford went into the game as the country's most prolific goal scorers, but the Whites limited them to mostly long-range shots. Quote, this is from Kip. Before I bring on Ben, I want to finish this off. Defensively, I think we did quite well tonight. We had more shots than them. Okay, I already read that. I'm sorry about that. I just repeated that. But it was a decent performance. I've got no problem with the way we performed tonight. That's Derby now on Saturday, Watford today, and we were better than Derby on Saturday. We were equally as good as Watford today. So it's sort of frustrating where we are, I'm sorry, went over my words there. We had a game plan and we stuck to it and very nearly came off. So I've got no arguments with the way we performed tonight and the way the players stuck to the game plan. That's directly from Kit, and I could go on and on, but that pretty much gives you a flavor of what Kit thought about this match. I'm going to bring on Ben. Ben, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm well, Ross. How are you?
I am doing well. I was just reading the manager reaction that you can actually read on the FulhamFC.com website. And listen, I just watched back the match. I listened to it last night. And, you know, I felt it similar to when you and I did the Wolves post-match show, except I think this is an even better performance. And I know people don't want to hear this because when you lose a match, It sounds like sour grapes to say unlucky, but I will leave you with this. I think Fulham had plenty of opportunities to get that equalizer, and really, again, I thought this was a decent performance in a loss.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting you mentioned the Wolves show we did, Russ, because I was about to say, I feel this was very similar to that Wolves game. Obviously, like you say, Fulham did perform better, but you know, we still lost. And like you say, it's not what anyone wants to hear. I came away frustrated from the Wolves game, you know, because I felt we played well, but we're terrible at the back. This game, it sounds awful, it really does, and obviously I wish we'd won, but obviously I wish we'd got the point that I feel we deserved. But I didn't come away from yesterday's game unhappy, which is odd to say. Usually,
yeah.
You know, if Fulham lose, I feel really down for a long time until the next game sort of build up starts, which is sad in its own way, but you know, that's what football fandom is all about. But yesterday, no, I felt, you know, it was unlucky. I think Fulham played really well. Like the Wolves game, away from home, we dominated possession. We created chances. We definitely had the better of the play. I mean, I was listening to Gentleman Jim, and I was also watching Sky Sports News, and between the two of them, and it was pretty clear to create the picture that Fulham were the team playing like the home team.
Absolutely.
And you know, it just comes down to one horrible, horrible bit of set piece defending, which is
again.
The story of it's kind of the story of the Keith Simons era at Fulham, unfortunately. Well, it's not just that. I mean, it has typified his era, but we've been bad at defending set pieces for years, unfortunately. I know. I'm not unhappy with how we played, and I saw some comments on Twitter saying at this point of the season, you know, it's not about making excuses about our performance being good. It's about points, and there's a, you know, to an extent that's true. But I guess my question is, what are you looking for the remainder of the season? We're not in the playoffs. That's gone. We all know that's gone. And equally, I think we realise that barring something drastic, I mean, the team's bus are really poor. They all lost again this week, I think, and apart from there's one slot that maybe is not complete, but two slots are filled. Millwall and Rotherham are really fighting it out to see who can be worst. We should not go down this stage of the season. For me personally, it kind of is about the performances. I'd like to see the results, but we all realise that we're building towards next season's team. As we've said every week, I think, you know, on the show, it's all about next season. We just got to get through this season. And so if we're losing against, you know, a team that are fighting for promotion, but we're playing really well and seeing improvements in the squad, which we did, then that's okay. I can get on board with that. I'm not happy, but I'm not disappointed, really.
You know what? I'm glad that you put it that way, Ben, because, again, it is all about next season. It really is. I understand that we're not safe yet. I get all that. But I'm looking at these matches and I'm seeing things and I'm seeing us get better. And I'm seeing, you know, again, let's start with that Wolves match, which you and I broke down last week. Then let's go to the Derby match. Then let's go to this match. And I'm seeing a team coming together a little bit. I'm seeing improvement. I'm also seeing commitment. I'm seeing them challenging defensively. I'm seeing them, you know, again, whenever. This is similar to the Derby match because I watched this back. Whenever Watford had the ball, Fulham were all on top of them again. Again, the commitment was there. That's what I want to see. I want to see improvement each match the rest of the way. We have 11 matches. Yes. Do I want the results? Of course I want the results. But for me, it is also about the performance, and the performance keeps on improving. And I know it sounds strange to say that, but again, if you're looking at the big picture, Ben, this is another small step moving forward. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, it is, and it's been fascinating to see the steps forward in just the last three games. I mean, I know we lost two of those games.
Right.
But even from the Wolves game,
you and I can
now,
see it, though.
Improvement. Yeah, well, absolutely. I think everyone really can see it. I mean, people will be upset because, you know, got 3 points in out of nine, but we've been seeing it game on game. Like, even the Wolves game was an improvement from previous, as we said. I mean, the Derby game was a huge improvement, and maybe this Watford game, you know, wasn't as good as the Derby game. Well, obviously it wasn't, but it was, you know, it was a continuation of that team sort of gelling, and this diamond, which people have suspiciously stopped criticizing, just working, you know. It worked, and we know how to play it a bit better. It's not perfect. Everyone knows it's we haven't got it right. But it is really nice to see that we're maybe using our assets a little better. And I'm just going to say it before we even get to talking about players.
Okay.
Reintroducing Brian Ruiz back into that diamond has been vital. It has. It just has.
I agree with you.
It's made a big difference.
I agree with you. And listen, we're going to go through this. And, you know, again, I watched the match, and I did key on Brian Ruiz, and he's been very important in these last three matches. He has been. I'd be lying to you if I said, you know what, Brian Ruiz is not, you know, hasn't played a major part. I thought he played a huge part in the Derby County victory. Some others think that maybe I was making a little bit too much of Brian Ruiz's play in that match, but I'm sorry. I thought Brian Ruiz was excellent in the Derby County match, and I thought he was good here too. And having him in there for the last 11 matches. Listen, he probably won't be with us next season moving forward. Okay, I get that. But it's going to help the young players come together. You know, they will probably have to replace Brian Ruiz. Okay, fine. But at least hopefully in these 11 matches, this team can really learn to play as one. And Brian Ruiz can be a part of that. That experience to go along with the young players coming together. They need him. They need Ross McCormack. Unfortunately, Scott Parker couldn't go in this game, Ben, but they will need him moving forward. And, you know, it's basically bringing everyone together, playing to one and being committed as one. And I saw it again in this match. I did. I saw it again. The stats are going to back me up on this because we're going to go through the stats. I also have the Opta evaluation that the club just put out on the FulhamFC.com website. I'm going to read through that, too. And, yes, it sounds like I'm acting like Fulham won the match. Obviously, they didn't. But I guess I'm just looking at positives to take out of this, Ben. And for me, there are some really good positives to take out of this loss. I hate to say it that way.
No, you're right. I don't disagree with you at all. And you picked up, I was just about to talk about the same three players that you just mentioned, Ross McCormack, Brian Ruiz, Scott Parker. And I see two of those maybe not playing for us, or at least not playing for us much next season, and possibly all three.
Right.
So we have to utilize, you know, their experience whilst we can, not only for the results, because they are good players, but also because it helps the development of the younger players. I mean,
right.
It's obvious. It just is obvious that if you're gonna be blooding and developing younger players, they need these experienced, better players alongside them. And Scott Parker, Brian Ruiz, Ross McCormack, I think it's very important that all three of those play as many games as possible. Actually, I think we really felt the loss of Scott Parker last night. And that's just one of the downsides of him being 34 years old now.
Right.
Kit even said, you know, he felt it after the Derby game, after his performance. And I'm a little bit nervous about what we do because, like you say, Brian's going to be gone probably. Scott Parker may be on the verge of retirement or taking a step back, at least, I imagine. And I hate to say it, but I worry about, you know, if we're not promotion pushers, whether Ross McCormack may. I mean, I don't know. But you always worry about your star players, I guess,
Sure. Coming
into the transfer window. But whilst we have him, it's important that spine of experienced, good players is helping the development of our youth players. So that is a positive. We got to be balanced at the same time. And there were also frustrating negatives, mainly the set-piece defending. But also, again, like we talked about in the Wolves game, in front of goal. What's going on in front of goal away from home at the moment? I mean, it's frustrating. We only had four shots on target, and they didn't really test the keeper much.
If you're being critical, and we should be critical, and because, again, obviously they lost the match, and having four shots on target, did they really test him? You know, again, there were a couple decent shots, but they weren't, you know, again, they weren't doing enough. Again, they didn't score a goal, Ben. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, did not score a goal, and that's the frustrating part of this because it was there. And the last 15 minutes, as Roger Lewis mentioned to me, because I asked who he thought was the full man of the match, he went to Matt Smith. And because Matt Smith, I seriously watching back that, I think he's scared Watford to death, because he was a real presence. So listen, we could talk about how Kit decides to use him moving forward, but in those last 15 minutes, he made a huge difference.
Yeah, he did, and I mean it was interesting to see Kit move to a plan B. I mean, I guess that's what that was. Back in the side gives us this plan B, which people have been saying, you know, we only have this one game plan, and then what do we do when it fails? And it was nice to see, you know, he took off Ryan Reeves, put Matt Smith on, which is the obvious stylistic change. I don't think those two are going to combine particularly well. And it didn't work per se, but it like you say, it scared the Watford defence. It put us on the front foot. And we, you know, we looked like we may get something because he was a presence, and we attacked them. And it's nice that that's a plan B. What I really don't want is for people to have seen that last 15 minutes and say that plan B should be our plan A, because that defeats the purpose of a plan B, of having a second plan of attack.
Good
you know?
Point.
Well, if you make your plan B your plan A and forget about plan A, then you need a plan B again. But I like that we have, you know, I wasn't one of these people saying get Matt Smith back on the pitch,
yeah,
get him back in, like start him. I do see the benefits, though, of having him as an option.
Yeah.
And you can't ignore his and McCormack's combination at Leeds. So, yeah, I mean, it was nice to see. It's a shame it didn't result in anything much. But, yeah, okay, cool. Matt Smith, great. Let's try it out if we need him again. It's going to be in games where we're desperate and we're chasing a goal and the long ball tactic is scaring the opposition. That's fine. We
and
can
it
try
did.
It out.
You know, and again, I'm not promoting the fact that Matt Smith should be our number one option, Ben, because, again, we have something, you know, again, the plan A. It's just a good plan B. You know, it's a decent plan B, you know, and you could see the chemistry. Again, I watched the replay, the chemistry between McCormack and Smith. It's there. It's definitely there. And that's good to see, especially if you're chasing the game. I mean, he might be, you know, he might help you get that goal. So didn't happen in this match, but it could happen in one of these last 11 matches. All right, let's go forward. Let's talk about the starting 11 going into the match. What were your thoughts about that? I know you were probably disappointed that Scott Parker didn't play, but overall, what were your thoughts of it?
Yeah, I think disappointed is probably not quite the right word. It's something like that. I mean, I understand, though, that he can't be playing every game and that Kit has to pick and choose when he can play. And it sounds like he'll be available for Friday, which,
yes,
I think is a more winnable game. So that's, you know, it's a balancing. And, yeah, I would rather Scott Parker could play the games, every game, but in his absence, what can you do? You have to do something. I just wish – I'm not happy with Ryan Tunnicliffe playing in that position, the Scott Parker role. I've said this again. I said this after the Wolves game, I will stick by it until he develops into a proper defensive midfielder. I don't think that position works for him. If we can't have Scott Parker there, I'd rather we have Tim Hoogland playing in that position.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, I was disappointed not to see that, because I don't actually think Tunnicliffe had a great game. I watched the highlights and I wasn't happy with a lot of his work in certain areas of the field, where Scott Parker maybe would have done something else, and Tim Hoogland, naturally being a defensive player, would have done different things to Ryan Tunnicliffe. I do not dislike Ryan Tunnicliffe, and I think he's an asset to Fulham. I think on Saturday we saw, you know, what he can do in a slightly more advanced central midfield position. But that was probably my only real gripe with the starting 11. I think otherwise it's more or less what we would have expected and wanted after the Derby game.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, just probably the fact that Tunnicliffe was central defensive midfield was the only problem I had.
Okay, fair enough. You know, again, I was pretty good with the starting 11. I thought it was fairly strong, but again, the one thing that stood out to me was when Scott Parker went off, Ben, in the Derby County match, he put in Tim Hoogland, and I thought, okay, Tim Hoogland can play that role, and that's who I would want in that role. And I agree with you there.
Well, I just think he's more natural in it. I think it makes more sense.
Yeah. No, I do agree with you there. All right. Let's go into the key moments of the match. And let's start, you know, again, you saw the highlights, right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, fine. All right. Let's start here. Now again, I did watch the replay, listen to the match as well, and Fulham, again, had the majority of the possession and were moving the ball pretty decently in the first 8 minutes. You know, again, I didn't feel any threat from Watford up to this point until they got their first corner of the match, which Ben was in the ninth minute. And as I read the manager reaction, you know, again, from what Kit said, he basically described what happened here. It was a corner delivered by Almin Abdi and was flicked on by Craig Cathcart, but saved by Marcus Bettinelli. The rebound went right to Troy Deeney, and he scored. Talk about this and how disappointing it is to give up another goal off of a set piece, off of a corner kick.
No, I mean, we all immediately said the same thing, I think, at least on Twitter. Everyone said, you know, it's the set pieces again. It's what Fulham do at the moment. We can't concede set pieces. I would love to. I don't have access to, but I would love to see the stats for most goals conceded from set piece in the Championship, because I can pretty much guarantee we'll be right at the top, particularly from corners and in-swinging free kicks, it seems. It's so bizarre after, you know, watching certain games, particularly last season, because that wasn't really an issue for us, especially in games like that one against Manchester United. And I really dislike criticizing him again, because he's had a hard time in certain games. But I really don't know what Marcus Bettinelli was doing. Yes, the corner was flicked on, and you could sort of say it was a shot at goal, but there was no need for what Bettinelli did. He sort of...
Yeah.
It was over the top. It was like he was making a save for the cameras. You know, it was unnecessary. It wasn't the right thing to be doing in that situation. He shouldn't have been where he was. His positioning was poor anyway. He wasn't
right.
He wasn't in the right area for the goalkeeper. And that sort of led to him having to make this dramatic save, which just pushed the ball back into a real danger zone. I mean, if Deeney wasn't where he was anyway, you would have been surprised or disappointed as a Watford fan had someone not been on the end of that.
Right.
Because he just pushed it back into the they call it the mixer, don't they? And then, you know, it was a little disappointing to see that Troy Deeney was the one that reacted fastest. I mean, he's instinctive, he's a striker, whatever. But I you'd hope that the Fulham defenders would have closed him down so quickly that he couldn't have got the shot off. As it happened, you know, it fell to him nicely. It was a well-taken finish. But again, we see just mistakes from set pieces that have to be cut out of our game. We've got to react faster. We've got to stop this positioning issue. I have to pin blame on Marcus, unfortunately, for
okay.
that. But, yeah, you know, it's just same old in set pieces.
It is, and it's funny because watching back, Ben, you know, you talked about the defenders need to get there faster, and that was, you know, you watch back that and you'll say that to yourself because they should have been on top of that faster, on top of Deeney faster, and he had a, you know, again, they were like one step too slow, and that's all it took, and Kit needs to continually try to figure out why we struggle at covering all kinds of set pieces. And again, like you said, this is nothing new. This has been going on, I want to say, since I've been following Fulham Football Club. This is nothing new. You know, this happened with Schwarzer and net. I mean, this is, you know, again, it's so frustrating, you know,
yeah.
Because I think this one specifically was preventable, and then that's the difference in the match, man. That's the difference. This one goal in the ninth flipping minute is the difference in the match, and it's too bad. Listen, honestly, Watford had a couple more opportunities to score and some decent ones, but still, this is the only goal, and that's what's frustrating here. All right, let's move on. And in the 15th minute, Ross McCormick actually had a decent shot on target on Gomez, and what were your thoughts about this opportunity here by Ross McCormack? It was still, like I said, it was a quarter into the match.
Yeah, I mean, just I think we've got a few Ross McCormack attempts to talk about over this period, and it's frustrating that Ross McCormack, who was so clinical just a couple of months ago or whatever, you know, he's where is he? He's not the same Ross McCormack in front of goal that we saw not very long ago. And I think, you know, you tip McCormack to score every game, and I'd be with you. But then he did it against Wolves as well, you know. We talked about his tame shot at the keeper. And he had, I think, three good efforts, you know, that you would have banked Ross McCormack to score, this being one of them.
Yeah.
And I think all of them really were pretty easy for Gomez. This one maybe was the best of the bunch, and that's not saying very much. It was with his left foot, and I think, was it Cooley Woodrow did pretty well to sort of take the defender away from him. And it was an okay effort, but it never really looked like it was going in. It was pretty easy for Gomez, really, to get behind and parry. And that was that's kind of been the story of Ross McCormack's last couple of weeks, unfortunately.
Right. You know, and that's, you know, again, it's, listen, he's a striker. He needs to be scoring one of these opportunities. And like you said, there are three. This is the first one. And he needs to be scoring. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about a set piece. Free kick from Brian Ruiz. This is actually a nice set piece, I thought. And Cooley Woodrow got his head on it. But again, I believe the ball went wide. Talk about this again. This is a decent opportunity for Fulham to score. It was the 37th minute.
Was this the level we're headed? I don't think it went wide. It just wasn't a very powerful header.
Yes.
For a crossing. Club, but he is the too often of being inconsistently. Corners, he quite often doesn't beat the first man, but this was fantastic.
Yeah.
This was the corridor of uncertainty. The keeper doesn't know whether to come, because if he does come, take a flick over him, header at goal. It's easy. It was perfect, actually. It was just a shame that Cooley, I think Sean Hutchinson kind of went up for this ball. The way got away from each other a little bit. It was easy for Watt to deal with. It didn't really even have the power to re-go it. They'd let it, you know. They could just let it off and it went off too, I don't think.
Yeah.
And I feel maybe Sean and Cole went up together. I think it was Sean. So I feel they got another way, and that's just unfortunate. You know, that happens at set pieces. You can call up or call these ever, but that's just a second action thing. That's just happens, unfortunately.
Hey, Ben, you're coming a little bit choppy. You want to try dialing back in? I think we're having a little tough Skype connection here.
I'll back it.
Okay. Just try dialing back in. Hopefully we can get a better connection. Sometimes that happens. Okay, so, you know, again, we're looking at about, like I mentioned, that opportunity for Fulham happened in the 37th minute, and still, Fulham are down 1-0 at this point. But again, you know, they had a decent amount of the possession in the first half. But unfortunately for Fulham, again, this is something that's happened often. You know, again, Fulham had the majority of the time on the ball. Ben, are you back with me?
Yeah, I hope this is right.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking about how, you know, again, we're getting near to the end of the first half, and this actually reminded me of the Wolves match. Get to the first half at least just 1-0 down. That's the thought going through my mind. They had a great opportunity to score. 42nd minute by Vidra. He hit the crossbar. What was going through your mind when Vidra hit the crossbar?
Gentleman Dims.
What was that?
Is my line any better? Am I still choppy?
It's still coming in kind of choppy there, Ben.
Well, I know if we need to try again or something.
Okay.
But I'll carry on this. So that Vidra shot, gentleman Dims, tone of voice, actually thought Vidra again. You know, it was a thinking thing. I just thought, well, you know, for dominant and like Wolves, we're going to go behind, kind of visibly, and black, and go down. Watching it back, you know, I mean, it's a good effort. it's not to say Fulham did a lot wrong. Costas Kalidis got kind of nutmegged on the left side. Maybe the ball across, and Vija just swings at it, and a really good effort. I can't say that it closed in quicker at this scenario. I think he's a really good shot off Japanese. Maybe he just gets done, really. And yeah, I was just, my heart sank a little bit before I read it back on it. Gentleman Jim, that way it was, makes you think sometimes that things are working off. That's doing.
Okay, Ben, listen, the connection is actually even worse. So why don't you try dialing in? And while you do that, I'll go through the halftime stats. I'll give you a chance to dial back out and dial back in. Hopefully we'll get a better connection. We'll keep trying.
Sure.
Okay, while I wait for Ben to dial back in, and hopefully we'll get a better connection this time. Unfortunately, I apologize. This happens sometimes with Skype. We got a bad connection. We'll have a better connection. But again, after that Vidra opportunity, a couple of minutes afterwards, we get to halftime and we are at 1-0. And here are the halftime stats, which are interesting. Watford had 38% of the possession. Fulham had 62. Total shots: Watford had 4, Fulham had 5. On target: Watford had 2, Fulham had 2. Fouls: Watford had 4, Fulham had 3. Corners: Watford had 2, Fulham had 3. Crosses: this is interesting because normally Fulham don't have as many crosses as their opponents, but not in this match. Crosses: Watford had 8, Fulham had 14. Crossing accuracy: Watford was at 12%, Fulham was at 21%. And one other stat I want to mention is shots blocked. Fulham actually had 3 shots that were blocked, and I think that was a factor in here. All right, Ben, I'm going to try again. How you doing?
Hello. Hopefully this is better now.
That's much better. Thank you. That's actually much better.
Excellent.
Okay. I just went through the halftime stats. I'm assuming you didn't hear that, right?
I don't know if I want to, actually. Now, thinking back about it, it's beginning to frustrate me how good we were.
Okay.
Yeah, still.
Okay. Okay. I'll go through it quickly because there's one stat that jumps out to me that actually surprised me. Halftime stats: possession, Ben, Fulham had 62% to 38% for Watford. Total shots: 5-4 in favor of Fulham. Even on shots on target. Fouls: Watford had 1 more at 4-3. Corners: Fulham had 1 more corner at 3-2. This is the interesting stat, Ben. Crosses: Fulham had 14-8. In crossing accuracy, Fulham were at 21% to Watford being at 12%. And Fulham also had 3 shots that were blocked. Okay, so what jumps out to you with those stats?
Well, I mean, it paints the picture perfectly, doesn't it? Like we've been talking about, that Fulham essentially, much like Wolves, played a similar sort of dominating game. It's like you'd think we were the home team. For sure, you'd think we're the home team, and you'd probably think we were the better team. If you hadn't seen the score, you'd say Fulham are most likely ahead. And the crossing thing, yeah, I picked up on that on Twitter at the time. It was like we were playing with the game plan that Matt Smith was on the pitch when he wasn't on the pitch, unfortunately.
Right.
Well, that's how it felt to me, because we were putting in a lot of crosses, and that's probably not ideal when our strikers are Woodrow and McCormack. That's not really their game. I mean, Woodrow's not bad in the air.
Yep.
Neither of them are bad in the air, but it's not really their game. A lot of the crosses actually were really bad crosses. Jazz Richards was unfortunately culpable of some really awful crosses into the box. And I hope maybe he doesn't try that again, because, you know, our other wingback, Costas Stafalidis, is notoriously poor at putting balls into the box. So we don't need a right wing back also who can't put a ball in. It's apart from that one slightly annoying stat, I wish we weren't reliant, you know, if Matt Smith isn't on the pitch, on putting, just pumping it into the box. The rest of it just paints the picture that we all sort of realized Fulham dominated the game by the first half, you know? It's
as
simple as that. And
no, they did. They did. And what's funny about this, again, when I watched the replay, and you probably heard what I heard, Ben, at some point, though, again, defensively, it looks similar to what it was like against Darby County. But going forward, at times, it was very slow. You know, again, it was very deliberate, the approach. You know, again, it wasn't quick enough. You know, and that was the one thing that did stand out to me, especially in the first half. You know, and gentleman Jim talked about it. It's like we were taking way too much time moving the ball up. And, that was a little frustrating, because when you have as much possession, you know, we talk about this. You know, I would rather have less possession like we did against Darby County and create more opportunities with them, with that possession. And you know, like you said, there are only four shots on target overall, and we'll get to the full-time stats. So it's not like, you know, we had all these fantastic opportunities. I think, you know, again, I think they need to be more – I think there has to be more sense of urgency going forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think it's going to sound like I'm trying to simplify the issue, and maybe I am. But the big difference maybe in those two games was –
Oh, I
maybe
know
as simple
say.
As yeah, as Scott
Parker,
Parker,
right?
Yeah. Well, we saw on Saturday, you know, we saw when we scored, it was often because, or not just, you know, it was just when we attacked, it was because Scott Parker dispossessed the player and drove forward really quickly. he didn't stop and look for a pass. He just picked up the ball and ran.
He just went,
you know,
yeah.
And that's what he did. He did, and the rest of the team got dragged up the pitch, and were in an attacking position. And that was a key difference. We didn't have that. I don't really mean to criticize Tunnicliffe again, because it's not his fault, because no one else
right.
does it either. It's not like Brian Ruiz does it. I mean, that's definitely not his game. He's not a fast running player. And without Lasse Vik and Christensen, who can sometimes do that sort of quick direct play, without LVC and Parker, we don't really have that, I think, and we really missed that in this game. It's true. It is true.
Yeah.
And it, maybe I'm oversimplifying it by saying it's just the players we had, because you probably can tell those players to do it, but maybe it's just not their game, you know? Maybe that's as simple as it is. You have to have certain players to have certain methods of play. And without those players,
makes sense.
Well, you see what
that
happens.
That makes sense. I will say one thing, you know, again, Seiko Fofana keeps on getting better. You know, I thought he was pretty good in this game, and I think he just keeps improving. I think he has a little bit of that in him, but it's still a little bit out of control, is the best way to say it.
Yeah,
it's like, I always feel that he's going to lose the ball.
He just gets excited, Russ, bless him. I see the potential there.
Yeah. But it's almost, you know, it's like he gets too revved up. It's like revving up an engine. He gets too revved up, and then he loses it.
Exactly that. He just loses it, and that's essentially his end product, is to lose the ball. Unfortunately,
yeah.
Be it from we talked about against Wolves, he's not very good at shooting yet.
No,
and quite often his final ball is poor. He does a good job of getting in the midst of the play, and he can pass. I actually think Seko Fofana really can pass the ball. But if he takes it on a run, you know, if he doesn't lose it with a stupid first touch, if he doesn't run into another player, he quite often takes the wrong final option, or his final option is just really poorly executed. So
right.
I can't really say that he's the answer, you know, in the absence of those other players we mentioned.
No,
yes.
I hear what you're saying, because LVC has already shown in a very short period of time that he can do that. And then, of course, Scott Parker can do that. Good point by you. I was trying to think, why were they so slow going up the pitch, and you just nailed it. So that actually makes sense. All right. Let's move on to the second half, and I'm going to go right to the 56th minute, because again, you know, if you listen to Gentleman Jim, he was pretty adamant about this. So I'm going to ask you again. This was a cross that hit Cathcart in the hand in the box. Should this have been a penalty?
Yes, I think this one should have been a penalty. There was one against Wolves, I think, was it? Or who was it against a couple of weeks ago, where
it
said
I believe it was against Wolves.
We shouldn't have had a penalty. Yeah, and I think maybe I came down on the side that wasn't a penalty, but this one, I think this was a penalty, actually. Okay. Yeah, I think Brian Ruiz was it that put the ball in.
It was Brian Ruiz.
Yeah, the appeals weren't very big, but it seemed to me like, you know, Cathcart made no attempt to put his hand behind his back. It wasn't like it was out, but it was, you know, in the context of the game with handballs that are given.
Yep.
I think is that if it hadn't been in the box, the referee would have given it as handball. That's how I see this one. I think he didn't want to give it because, you know, it would have been a penalty. I think either he or the linesman, if they saw it, I think they would have known it was handball. I think that's what it is. But it's one of those ones where he's worried about, you know, a penalty is a big deal, a free kick not so much. And I think that was really, it's that same issue, unfortunately.
Okay. All right, let's move on. That was in the 56th minute, and Gentleman Jim was adamant, like crazy adamant, you know, that he was very angry. We'll just leave it at that. Anyone that listened to it will know that he was extremely angry at that point. All right, a little bit later on, 15 minutes later, Fulham did have an opportunity with Seiko Fofana, but his shot was blocked. That was in the 71st minute. Now, it's funny we're talking about Seiko Fofana with a shot blocked.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to go to really, I guess you could say the change of the match was the substitution. In the 76th minute, Matt Smith and Kaká come on, Ruiz and Kavanaugh go off. Okay, and that's going to lead to the 80th minute, a shot by McCormack that was set up by Matt Smith. Talk about this, and again, this is, how can I put this? The only way I can describe this, it just reminded me of Andy Carroll or Peter Crouch. I mean, that's what this is. You know, a nice header down, and it just sets up Ross McCormack. But you could see the chemistry, and this is a decent opportunity, Ben.
Yeah, exactly. This is very similar to the sort of opportunity that Ross McCormack buried three times against Nottingham Forest. It was that sort of opportunity. And I watched a replay back, like, you know, and the two-minute highlights again and again, and I can't quite believe that he hasn't buried this in the top corner. Credit to Matt Smith. He does a really good job of getting up and creating the chance. And that's, you know, that is his game. And it's nice to see. Well, I mean, it's not nice to watch, but it's nice to see that we're utilizing that. I mean, we've been talking for weeks about using our best assets wisely because it's not something we've done. And yeah, Matt Smith gets up really well. He knobs the ball down. He knows, you know, he knows. He has that chemistry.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows, I think. Exactly. He knows that he's knocking it down and hoping McCormack's on the end. I think that happened. I'm sure that's happened a bunch of times to Leeds in the past. And it was just disappointing that, in fact, this was the one of the three, even though it was probably the hardest effort, if you look at all three efforts. The second one was really bad. This one, yeah, it's the sort of goal that Ross McCormack scores, you know. This is his perfect sort of shot. He likes a shot from, you know, that sort of range where he can bend it into the corner. And No, straight at Aurelio Gomez again. I don't know what's going on with McCormack.
Right at him. Again, all of his shots.
Right at him.
Right at him. You know, it was
just directly at Gomez.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This is going to be followed up in the 84th minute. And this is, and if you watch the highlights of this, you're going to see Ross McCormack furious at Hugo, because again, Matt Smith knocks it down, Hugo does the bicycle kick, and the shot goes awry. But talk about this, because Ross McCormack, I'm telling you, I think if Hugo lets Ross McCormack take this and he doesn't score, then we got major problems, because he should have scored from this position, but Hugo took the shot.
Yeah, well, that's it. We've just been talking about Ross McCormack in front of goal, and you're right. I'm very interested to see what would have happened if Hugo had let the ball go as he should have, as he really should have. I don't know what Roddy Yeager's thinking, because he's facing away from goal in a position where he knows Ross McCormack must have shouted at him. He must have done. A player like Ross does. And also, you know, he would have just seen him coming at the ball in a much better position. But something about how Hugo Rodallega is playing at the moment, it's not clicking. And he obviously just decides, this is my chance of glory. You know, he can get back in the fold. He can start games again. And he scored. His confidence is back. And he attempts something ridiculous. It's not actually a very good position to try the bicycle kick. He's got defenders right behind him. And the ball is too low, so he's going to get underneath it. And that's exactly what happens. And it's an appalling effort. It's a really, really bad bicycle kick.
Bad.
And I'd be furious. It was bad, bad. And I'd be furious. In fact, I am furious, and I'm not even Ross McCormack.
Yeah, I mean Ross McCormack was screaming at him right after this. And because if you see McCormack and you see his position, I'm telling you, if he doesn't score there, like I said, that there's major problems because he's wide open to score there. And I think Ross McCormack does score there, even though unfortunately he had some good opportunities. In my heart, I truly believe he would have scored, but again, with the way that he's been going lately, who knows? But again, it was just another unfortunate opportunity gone awry, and that's gonna lead now going to the 90th minute. Now you've only seen the highlights. I saw the replay. You heard this. I watched it. This is Seiko Fofana going in the box, and he's basically bundled off the ball in the area, and again, I watched this a couple of times, Matt, and it does look like he is pushed off the ball. Gentleman Jim said if this was in the middle of the pitch, you know, this would have been a foul. I actually agree with him on that. So this is one of these that it's tough because it's going to sound like it's sour grapes for me why he didn't call it. But Gentleman Jim has a point. But I also see it not called at the same exact time. The reason why it's not called is some won't call it in the box, and unfortunately, this is one of those referees that did not want to call this inside the box. But if it's outside the box, I'm telling you, I got a feeling he calls it.
Well, that's what I was saying about the handball. You know, they get nervous about making a big call, particularly, you know, if it's going to be an equalizing goal. Or, you know, it's in the 90th minute, like you said. You know, it's a big moment, and they don't want to be responsible for that big moment. And the easy way out is not to give the penalty. And I agree with you. You know, I actually haven't seen the incident, but I feel like it sounds like it's one of those incidents where it's an easy free kick to give if it's not in the box, like the handball. And it's just, you know, you get your fair share of these over a season, and you like to think they balance out and that will get. In fact, it did balance out in this game. We have to admit with the Ashley Richards incident. I mean, I thought that should have been a penalty against us.
We didn't talk about that, but you're right.
I don't know what he was doing. Yeah, that's not. It was horrible. it's irritating and it's inconsistent from referees. And it should have. I think the handball should have been given. It sounds like maybe this could have been given. But you know what can you do? It's just. You can't really. It's essentially. You can't get too upset about it. It's not worth it. It will balance out. We hope.
No, listen. I hear what you're saying, but as a Fulham fan, you know, watching it, you know, and hearing it, it's like, oh, but when you watch it, you know, I could see Gentleman Jim's point. You know, everything that he said, I think is spot on because I've seen it called that exact situation. I've seen it called, but I've also seen it not called. So it's one of these things that again could have gone either way. But I do believe that if it was, you know, in midfield, you know, that's a foul. But, you know, again, it is what it is. They
it's
don't
particularly
want to, you know,
frustrating
some,
to see.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, again, as a fan, as someone that watched this match thinking, man, we should have gotten something out of this. And maybe that's the cheap way to get something out of it. But, you know, I don't know, man. It's just frustrating. All right. And that's going to lead, you know, again, we did have a couple more opportunities, believe it or not, in the second minute of stoppage time. Matt Smith went high for a header, and it went over the crossbar. That was one opportunity. And then our final opportunity, Ross McCormack takes a shot. You've seen this, again, right at Gomez.
Yeah, there's nothing new to say about this. It's just Ross McCormack. It's actually good. It's good setup play again. And I think we're going to have to give some credit to the players involved in setting up good opportunities. And like Matt Smith and Cooley Woodrow earlier on, you've got to give them credit for creating the chances. And it's so disappointing to see Ross McCormack, who we know, and you can't get upset at him, almost. Almost not get upset at him, because we know he can score these, and we have watched him score plenty of them. But, he just really messed it up again, straight at Gomez. And I'm sure, you know, I kind of wonder whether Kit Simons has said something into the dressing room after, like, Ross, what's going on? Because
I don't know. I don't know how you handle a situation like where a striker you know can hit the back of the net just can't hit it.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, it's just it's been happening a little bit too often lately, and this match it's evident because again he's got enough on it on his leg to really get into it, but more often than not he's shooting right at the wrong place. I mean, that's the only way to put it. You know, it's just this one was frustrating. This is at the very end of the match, and this is a great. I mean, he put himself in a great opportunity to score here, Ben. That's the thing about it. You go watch back, and you'll see. It's like, man, he's in perfect, a perfect opportunity, perfect place to shoot. And unfortunately, it was again right at Gomez, and that's basically how the match ended. It ended 1-0. And Fulham go down, and you know, again, but overall, like we're talking about this, they played fairly well. It's more about the overall performance. They were better in the second half than they were in the first half. There's no question about that. And I think the overall stats are going to back that up. And I'm going to go right to StatAttack with the full time stats, and I'll share them with you, Matt. Matt, I can't call you Matt. I'm sorry. Almost thought you were Matt Smith for a second. Sorry about that.
Terrible.
Sorry.
Well, sorry. You know, I guess I'll take that.
Okay. Well, let's go on to the full-time stats, and let's start with possession. Now, the halftime stats were interesting. The halftime stat possession was, let me just double-check here, because I think I read them to you. That was at 62%. Full-time stats were at 58% to 42 for Watford. Total shots, Fulham had more shots than Watford, 12 to 10. On target, both were even at 4. Passing accuracy, Fulham were at 75%, Watford were at 69%. This is an interesting one. Corners, Fulham had 8, Watford only had 4. Shots blocked, Fulham had 4, Watford had 1. Key passes, this is actually something I'm going to read in the Opta evaluation. Fulham had 9, Watford had 6. This is interesting. Crosses, Fulham had 30. Watford at 18. I have to say, I think this is the only match I can remember that Fulham had more crosses than their opponents. I can't remember another match they've had more crosses, but they did in this match. Crossing accuracy at 20%. Watford were very poor at 11%. Tackles, Fulham were at 16. Watford were at 17. And fouls, Fulham were at 7, and Watford were at 9. Now, what stands out to you from the full-time stats?
Unfortunately, it is just our shot accuracy, our shots on target from the amount of shots and chances that we created. The amount of key passes, you said, we were better than Watford in that aspect, and that's basically chances created.
Yeah.
And it's like we've said, we just weren't good enough in front of goal because Watford had the same amount of shots on target, did they? And that's not really good enough. You know, if you have more shots on goal, you have to have more shots on target, I'm afraid. Because, you know, a shot on target, it's not simply that it's, you know, a shot on target. It's also a goalkeeper spills or a save is parried, like we saw with Bettinelli parrying into Dini. It's not that different from the first half. We carried on putting the ball in the box. Once we made the change to having Matt Smith up front, if we're putting balls in the box like that, you know, it's a different game. And that's fine. You know, if we're using Matt Smith, that's a game we need to play. So I'm okay with that in that aspect. And again, you know, it was interesting, actually, that we had slightly less possession in the second half. And it's interesting that we talked about in the Derby game that we had less possession and played better. So, you know, in a weird way, maybe Fulham are better attacking when we have less possession. Maybe we do more with the ball if we have less of it.
It's interesting, though. No, but it's a good point because, again, against Derby, what we had, I think, 44%.
Mm-hmm.
To 56%, and again they did more with less. I mean, it's, I don't know, it's strange because again when you have that much possession you should be doing more. You know, you should be getting something out of the match, and that's what's been frustrating. We've been having more possession than our opponents in so many matches. You know, and I don't know what to make of that, Ben. What do you make of that overall in this season? I do these post match shows. The majority of the matches, I'm telling you, we have more possession.
Well, I think it's maybe a... I mean, it suits... Obviously, possession suits the players we have, like Brian Ruiz and so on. They are possession players. But maybe I feel that particularly with our forward line, the more we have possession, the less we know what to do with it. It's like, it's that typical Arsenal thing. They're the team that typifies this the most, playing the ball around a bit too much and not really making a go of scoring with the ball. Maybe in the situations where we're struggling to get the ball as much, or we're just not getting on it as much, we're a little more desperate to quickly do something with it. And, you know, to get the ball forward quick, because we know we're going to lose it soon. So get the ball forward and have a go, rather than just keep the ball and see what happens. And it's not really what I'd want to say, but maybe it just is that we need to be a little bit more direct in our play and not worry about keeping the ball so much. It's hard to advocate that point of view because I very much like possession football.
I know.
For the team I support. But, you know, maybe that's the way it is. Maybe we need to not worry so much about keeping the ball. Just get it forward sometimes. I'm not saying long ball. I'm just saying be quicker. And if you lose it, you lose it. But you get another go and you try again.
Yeah. You know, and, oh God, it's frustrating. I understand what they're trying to do here. And, I don't want to be – I don't want to say I want long ball. I don't want that. I definitely don't want that. I mean, I would never advocate that. I don't want that. But I will go back to what you said. I think that they just need to be able to do things faster, quicker. And they're just not moving it around quick enough or being decisive enough. And when they get to certain positions, Ben – I think what frustrates me is it always seems like they're trying to look for the perfect pass, the perfect opening. At some point, you know, again, shoot the ball. I keep saying that. Just instead of worrying so much about the perfect opportunity, if you're in a good opportunity, maybe you should take a shot there.
Yeah, because, okay, but Ross, don't tell that to Saka Fofana. Don't tell that to Fofana.
Okay, well, that's a different story.
He does not need to do that.
No.
But yeah, I agree with you in general.
Okay. All right. Listen, I'm going to read through the Opta evaluation because it does go with the stats and tell me what you think about this. Okay, this is on the FulhamFC.com website. I find it kind of backs up what we're already talking about the stats, but it does tell you a little bit more. Fulham failed to make it two wins from two against promotion-chasing opponents as they fell to a 1-0 defeat at Watford on Tuesday evening. The Hornets went into the game as the top scorers in the country. I didn't even know that. And having lost just once in their last six outings, a run that had seen them climb to fourth in the championship table ahead of the kickoff. Having beaten the Whites 5-0 at the Cottage back in December, I'm not even going to read that coach's name, side, were far less dominant this time around, having just 42.3% of the ball throughout the 90 minutes. Kit Simon's troops can count themselves unlucky. People don't want to hear the word unlucky, but again, the evaluation said unlucky to come away empty-handed from the tie after enjoying the lion's share of the game and having 12 shots along the way. The best of those chances fell to Ross McCormack, who had efforts in either half kept out by Gomez. Watford could have increased their lead during the first half, however, and Alan Abdi hit a fierce drive that went marginally wide, and then Vidra came within inches of making it two as he smashed an effort against the crossbar. Once again this season, it's a case of what could have been for Fulham with the away side dominating possession. This is an interesting stat, completing over 100 more passes than Watford and delivering 9 key passes to the home side 6. Stafelidis was in the thick of the action, registering 108 touches to the ball, the highest of any player on the pitch. Stafelidis played 30 passes forward and completed 44 accurate passes. When defeating, the Greek came out of the top on 10 occasions when fighting to the ball and made 6 interceptions. Almin Abdi was impressive in the Watford midfield, recording 4 shots in the game, completing 43 accurate passes, and delivering 5 crosses in the opposition box. The game saw the return of striker Matt Smith, who has been on loan at Bristol City, and the powerful target man had a big impact on the game. Despite only playing 14 minutes, the former Oldham forward won 6 aerial duels in his attempts to set up a teammate, but unfortunately the finishing touch was lacking on each occasion. Okay, that's the Opta evaluation from this match. All right. What do you make of that, my friend?
There's nothing in there that's particularly surprising, other than Kostas Stefanidis, who I think he was impressive. I didn't realize he was that involved in the game, actually. That's good stuff. I guess that means he was the top passer, you know, in terms of accurate passes or at least close. That's a lot of passes that he's made. Good attacking intent, but it also seems like he was defensively astute if he's won 10 duels there. So that's nice, because I think people forget with Stefanidis that he's only 21. I mean, he doesn't look only 21 if you ask me, but
no, he doesn't.
We often talk about, you know, being a little bit lenient with our young players because they've got time to learn, make mistakes, you know, their development. But I don't think Stefanidis doesn't get quite as much of that leeway sometimes. And he is mistake-prone, Stefanidis, but I'm pleased for him to see he's evidently had a good game here, because he is young, and left-back is a tough position if you're making mistakes, unfortunately.
I mean, the rest of that is, you know, Fulham dominating. I will say that, what's his name, Adil, he had a very good game for Watford. I was very impressed by him.
Yeah.
Abdel Abdi. That's a name and a half. He was the guy who nearly scored in the first half as well. He did it just wide, didn't he?
Yeah, he had
a good game. He was the only Watford player who really stood out for me, apart from Gomez. By the way, Aurelio Gomez was given man of the match by Squawker, who is the website I use for stats. So statistically,
right. They
think Aurelio Gomez was the player of the game, which I think says a lot. And it's backed up by that Opta evaluation, isn't it? That's sort of more on top. I just couldn't do anything with it. Ross McCormack has all these shots straight at Gomez. It's just kind of the same picture painted there.
Yeah, it really is. It's almost like a continuation. We started with the Wolves match. We went on to the Derby County match. Different. And you mentioned what the difference in that match was. There was someone not playing in this match.
I
hate to go back to that, but you're right. There was someone not playing in this match and someone else playing in his place. And, you know, when you think about, you know, the slow pace at points, you've got a good point there, my friend. Scott Parker did not play in this match. And maybe that was that had more of a difference in this match than you think, you know, and you bring up the reasons why. Good by you for bringing that up. But it's unfortunate. He's 34 years old. So I understand, you know, but all indications of what I read is that hopefully he should be available for Friday night. And before we wrap up the show, I do want to mention, because a couple of Fulham supporters on the Cars Talk Facebook page did share their man of the match. Like I said, Roger Lewis said Matt Smith, and it's 15 minutes. He was on, he frightened the life out of Watford, and I agree with that. Judith Hopcroft, again, she said this, Staffy really got stuck in and seemed more reliable. Very interesting, and it's funny because I didn't really notice it, but the Opta evaluation obviously did, and she did as well. So kudos to you for bringing that up, Judith.
Good for her.
Yeah, because I didn't look at it that way, and she really picked up on that. So Judith, again, congratulations on that evaluation, on noticing that and giving it to staff leaders. I don't think anyone's ever given Stefanidis man of the match on this show, so there you go. All right.
Yeah, like, good for him. I'm pleased for him.
Yeah, so am I. You know, and it's funny. I'm glad that you brought this up. He is a young player. 21 years old. He's a young player. All right, Ben. Before we wrap this up, one other thing I want to say about this, again, something very interesting. Let's talk about the difference between the two matches between Watford. Watford, to me, in that first match, dominated. Forget about the fact that we had a sending off. Even before that, Fulham were second best at home, and they had all kinds of possession way before the sending off. What I saw in this match was a complete reversal. So should we, you know, I mean, am I wrong to feel a little bit encouraged? Like I said, even in a loss, Fulham looked like an even match for Watford, and dare I say, play better than Watford in a loss.
No, Ross, you're absolutely right. It's not like, I mean, we have talked about that 5-0 reverse And, you know, the sending off was obviously important, but Watford were all over us, even more so than we were all over them yesterday. And we were at points all over Watford yesterday. It's a sea change, really, a dramatic swing in terms of Fulham's performance. And we've seen that over the last few games. Something is happening. Something happened before the Derby game. You can only think something happened before the Derby game. In fact, before the Wolves game, maybe. Something has happened at Fulham because things have changed. We're playing like a proper team now.
Totally.
Like I said, I'm not,
and
I'm
that's
happy.
Why
I'm
you know
unhappy.
That's why again I was excited to do this show with you. And I know it sounds crazy to sound so positive after a loss. And like you said, you know, of course I'm disappointed that they lost, that they didn't get anything out of the match. But I guess I was just thinking something's going on here. Like you just said, something's different. And it started with that Wolves match. And I think Kit said he believed it started with a Millwall match. I'll buy. He's the manager. I can understand that. But for me, it really started with the Wolves match, and I could see the progression. That's why I'm looking forward to the Bournemouth match, because if you would have told me 2 weeks ago, I would have been predicting right now 3-0 to Bournemouth. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be predicting a Fulham victory. And I'm doing the show with David tomorrow, and I'm already telling you, I feel good about this match. Bournemouth are not the same team right now. And I think this is a really good opportunity for Fulham. What are your thoughts heading into this match? Are you feeling similar to me? You don't have to predict a victory, but are you feeling confident, more confident than you would, say, 3 weeks ago?
I'm actually very confident. I'm very confident, and that's odd because Bournemouth were, you know, up till very recently, they were the superstars of the Championship. It's not just that Fulham are better now. And with Scott Parker, I would say that we could probably beat anyone in this league if we've got that same team plus Scott Parker, you know, as we played yesterday. I think, like I said, it's silly to say, but I think he's going to make a big difference in that position. But also, like you mentioned, Bournemouth are not the same team. They got a bit lucky last night. You know, they had a penalty to win the game, which should have been saved. I saw that penalty. And if they hadn't done that, they wouldn't have won. I'm a bit sad that penalty went in because, you know, a win does something for their confidence. But that doesn't change the fact that they are on a poor run of form. Until yesterday, they had the second worst run of form in the entire Championship. You know, only Blackpool were below them. If we can play anything like we did against Derby, I think we can win this game. I really do. I'm very excited for this game because I predict we're going to win this game. I think it's going to be tight. They're not a bad team by any stretch, and I think we're going to win 1-0. As long as we have the same team with Scott Parker also playing. Yeah.
Wow, Ben's already going on with the prediction for 1-0. I predicted a victory, and of course, as always, I will predict Ross McCormack to score. But, you know, hopefully he won't be shooting right at the goalkeeper again. But, you know, hey, we'll see. Oy, that was bad. Okay. All right, Ben, listen, Let's wrap up the show. Just tell everyone how they can follow you. It's FFC by the River, correct? I already did it for you. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great fun over there. Everyone needs to be there. We had a good time.
All right. Fantastic. And now that I know that you're a Tennessee Titans fan, I now have my eye on the Titans in free agency for whatever reason. I'm now looking at the Titans in free agency. Look what you've done to me.
Yeah, I'm excited for the draft. I'm really excited. I'm not so excited by free agents because they're usually a complete waste of time. we picked up some guy from Atlanta who. But, yeah, I'm excited for the Titans this season. We might not be the worst team in the division this year. It's great times. It's going to be good.
Oh, man. You know, I will say this. The quarterback that I wanted the Patriots to draft, you guys got. So, you know, I do believe in that quarterback. I know he didn't have the greatest of seasons, but I still think he could be a good quarterback. Mettenberg.
Than Jake Locker. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, Jake Walker's been pretty bad. All right. Enough Tennessee Titans talk. We gotta end this show. All right, my friend. Great show. Thank you again for doing this, Ben. I gotta have you back on soon.
I would love to be. Thank you, Russ.
Good
evening.
You too. For Ben Weeks, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, Ben.
Cheers, Russ.